Imagine a space for South Asian women where stories are not just told, but actually felt. This is Rue, Rising Over Obstacles and Healing, brought to you by Jyoti and Monica, two friends who set out to carve a little space and make a difference by sharing stories and fostering healing and strength within our community. We invite you to listen and reflect, finding your own path one story at a time. And just for sticking around, there's a golden biscuit at the end of each episode. Life can change in an instant. A single word, a single diagnosis can really alter the way we see life and really the path of our lives. And today we have the privilege of speaking with a very brave guest who is going to share her story of battles fought, lessons learned, and really the unexpected silver lining that she was able to gain from her entire experience. So please welcome Asha. We're so happy to have you here, Asha.
Thank you so much, Jyoti, for having me on, and Monica. So I guess I should start from the beginning of my story.
Yes.
This was July of 2019, and I was 39 years old. One day I was putting on some cartoons for my five-year-old. My left hand, I just happened to put it on my side a little bit where it touched the side of my breast. I felt a lump. I just didn't think much of it, but I'm like, okay, this doesn't seem normal. So I felt it again. And I'm like, okay, this feels like a lump. So immediately I called my husband. He was at work at the time. Told him, I said, I'm thinking I'm feeling a lump. Mm-hmm. And he's in the medical profession. He said, you know, it's probably a benign cyst. A lot of women, especially in 30s and 40s, can get it. So it's probably not a big deal. But, you know, it's a good idea to set up an appointment. I actually called and I set up an appointment for the same day, and I was able to go see my primary care physician. She felt the lump and she pretty much gave me assurance that she thought it was just nothing serious, but we should get a mammogram done and an ultrasound done. The 39-year-old me is thinking, okay, that's fine. I'll go get it done. I've never had a mammogram. Not a big deal. Then I think 3 days later, I got a mammogram, which is not fun to get the first time,
but it was okay. It's not.
Yeah. And then I got an ultrasound. That's when it kind of got a little real, because in the ultrasound, the technologist decided to get the doctor there, which you learn later, if a doctor comes, that's not a good thing, because usually it should be they do the ultrasound and you're good. It was interesting because he pretty much came, kind of did a little bit of scanning for a few minutes, and then he straight up told me that we need to get a biopsy done, but most likely that looks like that's cancer. And just like that, which, you know, is not something that you expect to hear when you're getting an ultrasound done. So I felt like just right away, you know, you just have all sorts of emotions. But I was just so upset that the way he said that without any kind of sympathy, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And he kind of just let me go. So So then I had to work on, you know, getting a biopsy scheduled. But of course, my head is spinning because I went there by myself. I didn't think much of it. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, I go in the car and I'm just in tears talking to my husband. And, you know, he's trying to console me. And again, we're like, OK, we'll figure it out. What do you do? Right. Then I got a biopsy scheduled, which was, I think, a week later. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, you're just hoping that that's not the case, although you have been told this by a radiologist. So I went and got the biopsy done. At the time, they had found three different areas, one on one side and two on another side, you know, possible suspects.
The same side, but just three
one. No, one on right side and two on left side. And so that's where they wanted to have the biopsy done. And okay. And biopsy is not a fun experience because first they have to numb you, and then, you know, they're going in and they're actually getting tissue out to test it. So I went and I did that, you know, so you have like about a day or two of recovery from that, especially like for the bigger lump that I had. So then the waiting game begins and you don't know how long they're going to take to call you, tell you the news. The day I get the call was the one day that my husband goes to work, you know, so, but I think mentally I had kind of prepared myself for it. So I wasn't going to be that surprised, or I guess that distraught when I got the call. because I just thought about it. What can I do? If it is, that's what it is. If it's not, it isn't, right?
Had you told your parents at this point? Did they know? Were they aware?
Okay. They were aware. Yeah. Okay. I'm very close to my parents and my brother. They knew what was going on. I got the call. They told me, yep, you have cancer. It's just one tumor out of the three biopsies that they had taken. And then they tell you a little bit about it in terms of like what kind it is, but they don't tell you, you know, how if it's advanced or anything like that. They can't tell. And Actually, one of the biopsies they also do is for your lymph nodes under your armpit area to see if it has spread. Because anytime that cancer is going to start, if it's spreading, it'll go towards the lymph node, through the lymph nodes. And so they said that the lymph node biopsy was negative. So most likely it has not spread. So that was, I guess, the positive news out of everything. You know, the next step would have been to speak with the surgeon, oncologist, and come up with an action plan. That's how they, you know, I talked to them for maybe 5 to 7 minutes and that was it. And then you're kind of on your own. So then of course I call my husband, kind of tell him everything. He works on the radiation side. So he sees cancer patients, in fact, all day long. I think he was pretty consoling and he took it very, you know, well, in terms of also told me, you know, that's okay. This is what it is. We'll figure it out. So then, you know, that's when your head starts spinning because then you have to figure out, okay, what do I do now? Yeah. What do I research, right? Because you don't know everything, but you feel like, okay, what do I research? What do I do? And that's, I think, where I really felt like, okay, you know, I have two kids. I have a 5-year-old and I have a 10-year-old and both girls. You know, how do you tell them? You know, they took it okay. I think we explained it in a non-emotional way as much as we could, where this is what it is, but it's a very early stage. It hasn't spread anywhere. So most likely mommy's just going to need to get a little bit of treatment. And I think they did okay, actually. And I think a lot of it had to do with just the strength that we showed them.
The fact that you were composed and you kind of came across as though like this was something that was going to be fought. And, you know, obviously, like,
yeah,
having that composure, I'm sure definitely helped, you know, because kids do pick up on our insecurities. And if we're, you know, feeling a certain way, I think having that united, strong front, I'm sure definitely helped.
And I think I looked at it as, I think I'm not an emotionally weak person, luckily. And so I didn't think of it as, oh my gosh, this is the end of the world. I looked at it as, okay, what is it? And how are we going to get through this? And I have two young daughters and I need to be strong and I need to be able to fight this. And so I think I looked at it more as a battle than anything else. And so versus a defeat, you know, like, oh my gosh, something has happened to me and now what's going to happen? We also told my family the same day. My mom's a retired nurse. My sister-in-law is a pharmacist. So we have medical professionals in our family. So everybody took it okay. You know, I don't think, you know, nobody sobbed and cried and said, oh my gosh, you know, how did this happen to you? And, you know, it's interesting because being Indian, we don't think about this happening to us. We don't have cancer in the family. And you just feel like this is not something that's going to ever happen to you. So it wasn't even something that was ever on my radar. You know, you just live your life and you just don't expect something like this to come up. I think that was the surprising factor. So about 3 to 4 days later is when I got my first appointment where my husband and I went and saw. The first person we saw was a surgeon and they kind of make recommendations in terms of what sort of surgery you should get. And luckily for me, it was early stage and only in one area. And so they recommended a lumpectomy, which is where you get the tumor out. Then they recommended that we get genetic testing done and just to see, do we have a family history of this, which later that did come out negative. So this was not from genetics by any means. And then you also meet with an oncologist, which kind of talks about what your possible plan is going to be afterwards, after the surgery. And then you also speak with the radiation team to talk about, you know, what sort of radiation plan you can expect. The type of cancer I had was hormone-based, and so it feeds off of the hormones in your body.
Okay.
And there's many different types of breast cancers, which we learned. if there's one you want to get, is the hormone based, because what you can do is you can take medicine to reduce the hormones in your body so that even if there are any cancer cells left in your body, you can hopefully not
address
feed them.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, if there are certain cancers to get, you know, they talk, you know, you kind of learn as you research this.
Yeah.
There's
I don't think I was even aware that there's more than just one type. I think, you know, when we hear breast cancer, you just think one type of cancer and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, there are many different types. And in fact, I have met many other Indian women who have gotten cancer and it's been like stage two or stage three. And it has been more aggressive forms of cancer. There's like inflammatory cancer. There's multiple different types and there's not as much treatment actually available.
So you got diagnosed, you talked to your family, you met with all the professionals and, you know, then at that point you came up with like a course of action, like as far as what you were going to do, as far as treatment. And then also like, did you have to alter like your habits, your routine, what you were eating and whatnot?
Yeah, absolutely. While we were planning out, we'd scheduled my surgery and I started reading actually a bunch of books I ordered and started doing a lot of research online. So what I did was I went and saw a naturopathic oncology physician. She was very well known, especially for somebody who's had cancer. So I went to see her and it was interesting. The first question she asked me was, what do you think caused this? And you don't expect to be asked that question because you don't know what caused cancer. But then as I thought about everything and I thought about my life, I said, I think it's stress out of everything else that, you know, I have been involved with. And she said that that was the number one answer that she gets from all of her patients when she asks that question. You know, and then you think about, okay, what sort of stress did I have? I had a healthy marriage. I had a good career. I have two beautiful girls. I have my family close to me. But I think it was just the day-to-day living. You know, you get up in the morning, you pack lunches for the kids, you have a quick breakfast, you drop kids to school, you go to work all day long, you come back, you're making dinner, doing dishes, and just, it's just a go, go, go mentality. And then weekend, you have all these activities, evenings, you have activities. So I think it was just life in general, where you're just not taking a pause to reflect on what's happening, and you're just letting life happen. So that was the awakening for me. I think my husband and I were at the peak of our careers and we were really happy with where we were. But I think we didn't prioritize health in a way, like I didn't exercise every day. I didn't have time. I didn't make time. So I think I learned a lot. The doctor really gave me, you know, certain things she had me kind of walk away that day, which was, you know, I want you to start doing 14-hour intermittent fasting right away. I want you to try to eat as much organic food as possible. I want you to drink only filtered water, which we were doing, but it was interesting that she made a point of that to make sure that you're only drinking filtered water and never tap water. Then she asked me to get on certain supplements, you know, live it. And really, she pointed out a Mediterranean diet is like the way that you want to be eating. So I think I walked away that day with thinking, okay, there's things I haven't been doing that I need to do. So I read all these books. Then, and this doctor was a little bit further from me. So I saw one closer to me as well, where immediately 3 to 4 weeks after my surgery, I started going to her, like I started getting acupuncture every week with her to help me recover. So I had a surgery done. And then about a month after that, I had radiation done. I did not need chemo, luckily, because it was early stage. But, you know, I came up with the whole game plan. I literally looked at this like it was a project. And what am I going to do in different aspects of my life? It went from diet, doing intermittent fasting, eating as much organic food as possible. I'm taking the time to cook and make sure that we're cooking healthy meals for our family. I had a whole regimen of supplements that I was on from morning till evening that I'm still on, you know, almost 6 years later, because we don't get everything from our diet, unfortunately. We have to make sure, especially like vitamin D, for example, you need high doses of vitamin D because we just don't get enough sun for in our bodies.
And also, I think where you reside, I think a lot of people, if I'm not mistaken, do have to supplement with vitamin D because you just don't get a lot of sun.
Correct. Correct.
And, and I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah. Until something comes up. You know, I started exercising regularly. I started meditating regularly because when you talk about stress, how do you relieve the stress, right?
Yeah.
I think meditation became a huge part of what I did every single day. I started doing yoga. Another thing was I started using clean products. we don't realize what we're putting on our bodies. Something as simple as deodorant. Did you know that regular deodorants have aluminum in them, which can cause breast cancer, which I didn't know about. And so there's aluminum-free deodorants that we should be using as women. Yeah. And I mean, it's a whole host of things that you have to be aware of to stay healthy.
Well, yeah, it's the lotions we put on, right? There's like the makeup products, and that's just what we put on our bodies. And, you know, it doesn't even take into consideration all the other chemicals we come across, right?
Correct.
So,
correct.
You know, there's something to be said for natural, you know, coconut oil itself is, know what I mean? Like, as opposed to, you know, all these scented lotions and whatnot. And, you know, I think that a lot of times we just don't take the time to like read, you know, on the back of the products that we purchase, like what's actually in these products, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I guess the question I have for you as you've been telling me this is, where did you find the strength? I mean, you know, it sounds like, you definitely had the support system from your, you know, husband, your family, but sometimes I find that even that's not enough. Like you need to have that internal like strength, right? Where did that come from for you?
You know, I come from a very religious family. Mm-hmm. And I think that had part to do with it. I started listening to a lot of religious lessons and teachings. Ultimately, you know, everything that happens, it's meant to be. Not once did I think, why did this happen to me? Like, what did I do that I deserve to get this? I think any of us can have something happen to us. It's about how do we respond to it? And I think having faith is just a huge part of that. You have to accept what has happened to you. Then we have a choice, right? How we're going to respond to something. Mm-hmm. And we can respond to it again with the notion of why me, or it's okay. And we will get through it. You know, so that was my mentality. And I think that's just our family. We're all just very much faith-based family. And we just learn to accept things that are happening around us. Nothing is going to be perfect. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. I think meditation and also listening to a lot of various motivational speakers that just really help you so you don't think you're alone. You know, so I think I've looked at this as a blessing more than something negative that happened to me, honestly. I think it was a blessing that I caught it as early as I did, that it didn't spread. I caught it as early as I did, that I was able to change my life, my lifestyle in what I eat, what I do, what I wear, and also how I'm raising my daughters. You know, gosh, my girls will always joke that, oh my gosh, mom, can you ever buy something that's not organic? Or why can't I put perfume on? You know, I have a teenager and I'm like, no, you know, and coconut oil is like in every single room and every single bedroom in our house in little containers. And, you know, but that's, so I really do look at it as I was very lucky that I was able to catch it early. And I just learned to prioritize certain things. You know, before I would never put myself first in things. You know, you always just want to do everything for your family, right? You're just running around doing everything for everybody. And I've learned to just say no. I have learned to just take a pause and really think about it and say, okay, is this going to add value or is this going to have me sacrifice something in some way? You know, and I've learned that it's okay to say no. And it's okay to not do it all. You know, I think I've learned to simplify my life, look at what are the important things and only give my time to those and not every little thing that's out there. For many, cancer obviously is a horrible thing and they go through a lot. For many, they catch it early enough that hopefully they can make changes to their life so that they still stay healthy. And people who even get advanced cancers can still turn it around and figure out how do you deplete your body of the things that the cancer is feeding on. And sometimes it does work and it doesn't always have to be traditional medicine either. And but I've learned that it's a combination of both. I had to take traditional medicine. So talking about, you know, hormone-based cancer, I had to, for 5 years, every 4 weeks, I had to go to our local hospital. I had to get a shot, which put my body in menopause. And going through that at the age of 40, that was not fun. My body went through a lot of changes. My hair started to fall out. You know, my skin was dry. My metabolism was not good. On top of that, I had to take medicine, which deprived more hormones out of my body. So estrogen. Not only was I a lady in menopause, I was then deprived of even the remaining amount of estrogen that one would have left. And so it was not fun. You know, I had aches and pains, like, you know, when the older grandmas say, oh my gosh, I've been down and now I can't get up or it's so painful. I went through all of that. Mm-hmm. It was not fun. But you know what? You just take it. What do you do? Yeah. And that's where I went to acupuncture very regularly. I got massages regularly. I joined Pilates. In fact, it's been almost 2 years now where I go 4 to 5 days a week. I go to Pilates. Like, I cannot miss it, no matter what. And so I learned to just make sure that I'm physically active so that even though my body's going through all of this, I'm still okay. So, you know, I stopped my medicine last summer. So my body's getting a little bit better, feeling a little bit younger. It's not fully there. They say it can take a year for you to get there. Mm-hmm. But overall, you know, it's been an experience, obviously, that I wish to not have gone through, but I think it's okay. And, you know, I think I was able to come out of it stronger. And also now my daughters know what my mom, what our mom has gone through and what do they need to do to be healthy. And of course, I will always be there nagging them to make sure that they're taking the better route. You know, but it's not easy in this country with all the junk food we have available. And how do you motivate your kids to, you know, try to eat a little bit healthy, to make a little bit better choices for themselves? And, you know, so hopefully they will remember that and they will go through a similar path and prioritize their mental health and not get so stressed out in life that your body just can't stay healthy.
Yeah. You know, it's a recurring theme that I do hear from a lot of people who've gone through various ailments, not necessarily just cancer, but all types of diseases. And when they sit back and reflect on what's happening in their lives, it's the stress. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we definitely don't understand how impactful stress is on, you know, our bodies and how it manifests into real symptoms, real diseases. And that focus of, you know, when I switched careers and went into health coaching, it was to really focus on mental health. Because up until that point, honestly, I just thought of health as physical health. I thought, okay, as long as a person is physically fit, you're healthy. And then, you know, I go on this journey and then I learn that it's your mental health. It's your spiritual health. It's your physical health is only a part of it. There's so many aspects to health. Really, mental health, I would say, is at the top. You know, you can afford to have, you know, an extra 5-10 pounds or, you know, you're not like 100% happy with your physical appearance, but your mental health should be in tip top shape.
Yeah.
That's where I feel that we need to kind of focus on. So like what I wanted to know from you is just if you can explain like what your routine is like today. I know you said a little bit about before this happened, it was like, get up, make breakfast, lunches, go work all day, come back. It was like, you know, what a lot of us do on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, how did you find time to make the changes that you've made? And what do you do now on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. I happen to be in a career where I can work part-time if I want to. I think I work maybe 4 to 5 hours a day. So not everybody gets that luxury, but I chose to prioritize my health and not my career. So nowadays, you know, I do at least 15 hours of fasting every day, sometimes 16, depending on, you know, when my workouts are. I still, of course, do the pack the lunches, drop the kids off. My older one's driving now, which has been a blessing. But what I do in the middle of the day is I do Pilates about 5 times a week. And I do that in the middle of the day, usually around between 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I do a 1 hour Pilates session. Okay. And when it comes to Pilates, I chose that it's good for strength. I feel like us women need some strength as well in addition to cardio. Mm-hmm. And what I love about Pilates is I go to a club where it's a group lesson. You have instructors guiding you. I schedule it. I schedule it. You can do 15 classes at a time that you can schedule, but it's scheduled. It's on my calendar. So I feel like I have to go. So that has really helped me in being able to go regularly. And then in addition to that, I try to get some sort of cardio in every day as well. Most of the times it's my husband and I going on a 40 to 45 minute walk every day. Mm-hmm. We live in an area where it does rain a lot. So we have our waterproof pants, our waterproof boots, our jackets, our hats, the whole gear. And we go, it doesn't matter if it's rain or shine. You just have to. if for some reason I don't get a chance to go on a walk because things do get busy, I did end up purchasing a treadmill. Never thought I would, but I did. Then I'll use my treadmill. And over the last year and a half, in fact, several of my friends and I, we started playing badminton. So right now we're playing badminton twice a week, which is really good for cardio as well. And I think it's really good for mental health that you see your friends regularly. It's a very good social aspect as well, in addition to physical. Then I have time when you're working from home, which I'm fortunate to, then you have time to make a healthy breakfast, to make a healthy lunch, to be able to prep something for the kids, which is also a bit healthy, and to pack them lunches. So that's the day. I also try to get some meditation in there as well, just to be able to just close your eyes and just do some deep breathing and just to reflect on what is happening around you. And so those are really my things. You know, we make sure to have a good family dinner together so that we can talk about everything. I try to be there for the girls a lot so that they have somebody to talk to, especially as kids go through so many different things nowadays at school. On the weekends, I go to a meditation session for 1 hour every Saturday morning at our temple, which is from 8 to 9. That is just a very, very peaceful time where we're really just focusing on our breathing, on our mental state. That's been very nice. And then every Sunday I go to our temple and I volunteer. I volunteer about 2 hours a week, just helping with the kids and different things that we have going on. So, you know, it's not only about physical, but we talked about mental, but spiritual, like you mentioned. And I think it's so important to be part of a community where I feel good about volunteering and giving to our community. And also just helping the next generation, also making sure that they're aware of what our culture or religion is all about so that they can carry that forward as well. And that's just our routine, that every Sunday we go and we're part of our community. So I feel like I'm lucky to live an enriching life. And, you know, and we try not to make ourselves super busy on weekends as well. We're particular about we don't need to go to so many social events that we're so busy and we just don't have time to just decompress. And luckily, my husband's a health freak. And so he's also particular about not going to too many social gatherings either, because one thing is you see people, that's fine, but you tend to also eat really unhealthy food that's always there. And so we try to limit how many social things we also go to just from that perspective. But, you know, I think it's important. But I think it cannot be so chaotic that every Friday, Saturday, you're just out and you just don't have much time to just be able to be in peace. Sometimes it's good to just stay at home and do nothing. But that's what my life looks like nowadays.
So, you know, I have to say I am so inspired and amazed by the strength and resilience that you've shown and how you've chosen to see what happened as a blessing. Not very many people can say that. And I think to come away from this experience and to view it as a blessing and to have made the changes that you've made, you're going to really impact a lot of lives just by sharing this story, living the life that you're living, your kids seeing, you know, the example that you're setting for them. I don't think we realize the impact that it has on everyone that will come across you or your kids. You know, little tidbits here and there will actually affect people greatly. And I'm fortunate that we got a chance to speak with you. Before we go, though, because I know you mentioned you have a Pilates class you have to go to. So there's something that we like to do at Rue, which is impart like a golden nugget at the end of each episode, like a golden biscuit is what we call it, actually. And what it is if you had to sum everything up, like this is what you would want to impart, this is what you would want to, like a message that you would want to give to the audience.
I think it's important for us to accept what is happening around us and to us and not feel like you're a victim when something doesn't go your way. But also, while you accept something, and if it's something that's not positive, then I feel we have a lot of resources around us. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to take a pause and figure out what else, what can you do differently? Find the resources to help you get there and don't feel like you're alone. There's a lot of resources out there, you know, and sometimes change can feel hard, but taking small steps to get there, it's okay, even if you go slowly, you know, and just to live your life. I think the older mentality used to be that you work all your life and then when you retire, you go enjoy and you travel and all that. I think live your life as you go. You don't know how long you have, and that's okay, but live it, right? If you want to go travel, go places, do stuff, go do it. Don't wait until you're older. You don't know how long you have. And so that's what I would say.
Yeah, no, I love that because you're right. We, especially as South Asians, we, you know, have this mentality that we have to work really hard, make all this money, and there's time later in life to do the things we really want to do. But I would say the golden biscuit today is live your life and do it today. Don't wait for tomorrow. You know?
Yeah.
Thank you, Asha. Thank you so much. It's been great chatting with you. You know, I wish you all the best with everything. Thank you for listening to Ru. We appreciate you joining us as we cultivate a community of strong, empowered women, one story at a time. If you or someone you know has a story you'd like to share, please contact us at rudaraz@gmail.com. That's rohdaraz@gmail.com. Also, do us a favor and please share this podcast with your sisters, your mom, your friends, aunties, your eyebrow lady, like any lady you know. You know, you get the idea. Till next time, kush raho, be well.